All right, so get this. What if, like, everything we think we know about life is, like, totally wrong?
I like where this is going.
I mean, we're so used to, carbon being, like, the backbone of all living things here on Earth.
Right.
But what if, like, there's another way?
Like what?
That's what we're diving into today with this book, Alien Life Forms.
Cool.
It really gets you thinking about the possibility of life existing without carbon.
It is a fascinating concept, yeah.
Yeah.
The book starts by like reminding us why carbon is such a superstar element here on Earth.
Right.
It forms those stable bonds that are so crucial for building, complex molecules like
Yeah.
proteins and DNA, which
Yeah.
are essential for life as we know it.
Right. Yeah. Carbon is like the ultimate Lego brick for life.
Exactly.
But this book, it throws a wild card into the mix,
Right.
silicon. I
Wow.
mean, it's everywhere on Earth,
Yeah, it is
even more so than carbon.
abundant.
Yeah, and it's chemically similar in some ways. So why aren't we like swimming in silicon-based life forms?
That's a key question the book explores.
Yeah.
And it turns out that while silicon can form chains and bond with other elements, just like carbon, there are some critical differences.
Okay.
For example, silicon dioxide,
Yeah.
which is basically quartz, is very stable
Yeah.
and unreactive, especially in water. Unlike carbon dioxide, which easily dissolves in water
Yeah.
and is part of that whole carbon cycle that makes life on Earth possible,
Right.
silicon dioxide just sits there.
So silicon might not be a good fit for our water world,
Right.
but could it be a star player in other environments?
Potentially, yeah.
The book takes us on a pretty wild ride here.
It does.
Yeah.
The book lays out these really intriguing scenarios for silicon-based life.
Okay.
Imagine creatures made of crystalline structures, almost like living crystals,
Wow.
or organisms with tough silica exoskeletons,
Oh, okay.
like walking rocks.
Whoa, okay.
There's even the possibility of semi-liquid beings made of silicon polymers.
Okay, hold on.
So, no cute, furry silicon creatures. More like something out of a sci-fi movie about alien planets.
Exactly.
Wow.
The book dives into environments that would be totally inhospitable to us, but could be perfect for silicon-based life. Think about methane lakes, atmospheres rich in hydrogen, or even the extreme pressure and heat found deep inside certain planets.
So these silicon life forms wouldn't just be different, they'd be truly alien, right?
Yeah.
Operating on completely different principles.
Right.
Does the book talk about how they might function?
It does. It gets into some pretty mind-bending ideas about how silicon-based life might metabolize energy, reproduce, and evolve.
Wow.
For instance, instead of DNA, they might have a completely different information storage and transfer system.
That's incredible. It
Yeah.
really makes you question what we consider to be the hallmarks of life. But if silicon has this potential, why haven't we found any evidence of it here on Earth?
Well, remember those extremophiles we talked about?
The organisms that thrive in places like volcanic vents or super salty lakes.
Yeah.
Some scientists believe that studying these earthly extremophiles,
Okay.
especially the ones that live in high silicon environments, might give us clues about how life could utilize silicon.
So we're using these extreme earthlings as a model for what might be possible elsewhere.
Exactly.
That's fascinating. But let's say we do find life on another planet.
Okay.
How would we even know if it's silicon-based?
That's where the book really gets into the nitty-gritty.
Okay.
It discusses the challenges of detecting silicon-based life.
Right.
One hurdle is that silicon bonds, while capable of forming chains,
Yeah.
are weaker and less stable than carbon bonds.
So are we talking about simpler life forms then?
Possibly.
Maybe not as complex as what we see here on Earth?
That's certainly a possibility.
Okay.
The book explores the idea that silicon-based life might be less complex, at least in terms of molecular structure.
Right.
It might rely on different strategies for survival and evolution. Another challenge is that silicon dioxide, a likely byproduct of any silicon-based metabolism, is solid at standard temperatures.
Wait, so their waste product would be basically rock.
Essentially,
How
yes.
would they get rid of that?
That's a great question.
It's not like they can just exhale it like we do with carbon dioxide.
And the book delves into some potential solutions.
Okay.
It suggests that silicon-based life might have evolved unique metabolic pathways, or that they might exist in environments where solid silicon dioxide wouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
Perhaps they incorporate it into their structures or even find a way to utilize it as a source of energy.
That's some serious outside-the-box thinking.
Yeah, it is.
So we have these theoretical silicon life forms, and we have extremophiles pushing the boundaries of what we thought life could handle.
Right.
Where in the universe should we even be looking for this silicon-based life?
Well, if we open our minds to environments beyond our earthly comfort zone,
okay,
the possibilities become truly vast.
Okay, let's go on a cosmic road trip.
Okay.
Where do we start?
The book suggests some pretty fascinating destinations.
Okay.
For starters, there's Titan.
Okay.
Saturn's moon with its methane lakes.
Yeah.
Could those lakes be teeming with silicon-based organisms swimming around?
Titan, definitely sounds like an alien pool party I'd love to crash.
Yeah, it does.
But wouldn't those organisms need some kind of internal heat source?
Yeah.
To stay liquid in those frigid methane lakes?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
And the book addresses that.
Oh, okay.
It suggests that silicon-based life forms might not need the same kind of internal heat regulation that we carbon-based creatures do.
Okay.
Their biochemistry could be totally different.
So maybe they've evolved ways to thrive in those ultra-low temperatures?
Yeah, exactly.
What other stops are on this cosmic tour?
Well, the book also points to Venus.
Okay.
With its insanely hot temperatures and thick carbon dioxide atmosphere.
Oh, wow.
It might sound counterintuitive, but some scientists believe that silicon-based life could actually thrive in that kind of hellish environment.
Venus is basically Earth's evil twin, right?
Pretty much. Yep.
So are we talking about silicon-based organisms that can handle temperatures that would melt lead?
Exactly. The book explores the possibility of silicon-based life forms that are not only resistant to those extreme temperatures, but actually thrive in them.
Wow.
They might even utilize the heat as a source of energy.
That's mind-blowing. It's amazing how life, you know, finds a way, even in the most unexpected places.
Right.
What about those icy moons we hear so much about?
Yeah.
Like Europa with its hidden ocean.
Europa is another intriguing candidate.
Mm-hmm.
The book suggests that the high pressures and potential hydrothermal vents in Europa's subsurface ocean could provide the perfect conditions for silicon-based life to evolve.
So we're talking about silicon-based life that's adapted to extreme pressure and darkness.
Yeah.
It really makes you wonder if we're even looking for the right things when we search for life on other planets.
You've hit on a crucial point. Our search for extraterrestrial life has often been focused on finding planets that are similar to Earth.
Right.
With liquid water and a carbon-based ecosystem.
Yeah.
But if silicon-based life is truly out there, it could exist in places we haven't even considered yet.
It's like trying to find a needle in a haystack, but the haystack is the entire universe, and we don't even know what the needle looks like.
Exactly.
It seems like we need to be a lot more open-minded in our search.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's one of the main takeaways from the book.
Okay.
It encourages us to expand our definition of life and to consider the possibility that it might exist in forms we haven't even imagined.
Okay, so we've got this vast universe full of potential habitats for silicon-based life.
Right.
But how do we actually go about finding it? Are there any concrete steps scientists are taking?
This is where the exciting field of astrobiology comes in.
Oh, cool.
Scientists are developing increasingly sophisticated tools and techniques to detect signs of life.
Okay.
Whether it's carbon-based or something completely different.
Like what kind of tools? Are we talking about like giant telescopes that can see alien microbes swimming around on distant planets?
Not quite.
Okay.
But we do have some incredible telescopes.
Yeah.
Like the James Webb Space Telescope.
Oh, yeah.
Which can analyze the atmospheres of exoplanets.
Mm-hmm.
Those planets that orbit stars other than our sun.
Right.
By looking at the chemical composition of these atmospheres, scientists can search for potential biosignatures, which are chemical clues that might indicate the presence of life.
So are we basically looking for like chemical fingerprints that say, hey, there's something alive here and it might not be like anything you've ever seen before?
Exactly. And it's not just telescopes.
Okay.
Scientists are also conducting experiments here on Earth to try to understand how silicon-based life could potentially function.
Right.
They're exploring the limits of biochemistry and trying to create artificial systems that mimic the processes of life.
Okay.
Using silicon as a building block.
So it's like we're trying to crack the code of silicon-based life from both ends.
Yeah.
Looking for it out in the universe and trying to create it here in the lab.
Precisely. And it's a multidisciplinary effort involving astronomers, biologists, chemists, and even computer scientists.
Wow.
The search for silicon-based life is truly pushing the boundaries of science and technology.
All this talk about silicon-based life makes me think about those classic sci-fi movies and books that feature all sorts of weird and wonderful alien creatures.
Right.
Do any of those depictions hold up scientifically?
It's interesting how science fiction often anticipates scientific discoveries.
Yeah.
While many of those sci-fi aliens are pure fantasy,
right,
some actually draw on real scientific concepts.
Hmm.
And they can even inspire new avenues of research.
So those sci-fi writers might be onto something.
Maybe.
Maybe they're just a few steps ahead of the scientists.
It's definitely possible.
Okay.
The book even mentions how science fiction can help to shape public perception of science.
All right.
And spark interest in exploring these big questions about life beyond Earth.
It's amazing how science and imagination can work together to expand our understanding of the universe.
Yeah.
But let's get philosophical for a moment.
Right.
If we were to find silicon-based life,
yeah,
what would that mean for us as humans?
That's a profound question.
Yeah.
Discovering life that's not based on carbon,
yeah,
would completely revolutionize our understanding of biology and our place in the cosmos.
Wow.
It would challenge our assumptions about what life is and where it can exist.
It's almost like we've been living in a little bubble, thinking that carbon is the only way to build life.
Right.
Finding silicon-based life would burst that bubble.
Yeah.
And open up a whole new realm of possibilities.
Exactly. It would force us to re-examine our definition of life, our theories about the origins of life, and even our understanding of the universe itself.
It would be a truly humbling experience, wouldn't it?
It would.
To realize that we're not the center of the biological universe.
It would be a paradigm shift, no doubt. But it would also be incredibly exciting.
I can imagine.
It would open up new avenues of research, new ways of thinking about life.
Yeah.
And new possibilities for our future.
It's like we're standing on the threshold of a whole new era of scientific discovery.
I think so, yeah.
And it all hinges on that one fundamental question. Are we alone?
And if we're not alone, what does that mean for humanity? How would we interact with a silicon-based civilization? Would we be able to communicate? Would we be friends or foes?
It's both thrilling and a little bit terrifying to think about.
It is.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to embrace that sense of wonder and to continue pushing the boundaries of our knowledge.
Yeah.
The universe is full of mysteries, and the search for silicon-based life is one of the most captivating mysteries of all.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
From the unique properties of silicon.
Right.
To the potential habitats for silicon-based life.
Yeah.
The challenges of detecting it and the philosophical implications of finding it.
Huh?
Where do we go from here?
I think the best thing we can do is to stay curious, to keep exploring, and to keep an open mind.
Like the book says, we need to expand our definition of life and be prepared for the unexpected.
Exactly. The universe is full of surprises. And the discovery of silicon-based life would be one of the most profound surprises of all.
So to wrap things up, let's revisit the big questions about silicon-based life that we, you know, unpacked today.
Yeah.
From what I gather, it seems like the possibility is more than just science fiction.
It really is.
Yeah.
The book does a great job of presenting the scientific arguments and evidence that make silicon-based life a real possibility.
Mm.
It challenges us to, like, think beyond our carbon-centric view of life and consider the incredible diversity that might exist in the universe.
It's like we've been wearing carbon-colored glasses this whole time, and this book is helping us, you know, take them off and see the world, or rather the universe,
right,
in a whole new light.
That's a great analogy. And the book provides some pretty concrete examples to back up that idea.
Yeah.
Remember how we talked about the chemical similarities between carbon and silicon?
Mm-hmm.
The book delves into the specific ways those similarities could, like, play out in a biological context.
Remember, like, how silicon can also form chains and bond with other elements to create complex molecules.
Exactly.
Just like carbon does.
Yeah.
And it also explains how silicon-based life might overcome some of the challenges, like,
yeah,
the stability of silicon dioxide.
Right.
By evolving unique metabolic pathways or living in environments where those challenges aren't as significant.
Exactly.
Right?
It also highlights the fact that we found silicon-based molecules in interstellar space.
Oh, wow.
Which means the building blocks are out there.
Right.
And the book discusses how scientists are using Earth's extremophiles.
Uh-huh.
Those organisms that live in extreme conditions.
Yeah.
As models for what might be possible for silicon-based life.
It's amazing how we can learn so much about the potential for life elsewhere by studying these incredible organisms right here on our own planet.
Yeah.
And speaking of Earth, we also talked about a possibility of artificial silicon life, which is a whole other mind-blowing concept.
It is.
Yeah.
A book touches on that as well,
mm-hmm.
exploring how advancements in synthetic biology and AI could potentially lead to the creation of lifelike systems using silicon as a base.
Right.
It raises some fascinating questions about the boundaries between technology and biology.
Yeah.
And what it truly means to create life.
It's like science fiction is merging with reality right before our eyes.
It really is.
But let's bring it back to the big picture.
Okay.
If we were to find silicon-based life, whether it's out in the universe or created here in a lab,
yeah.
What would that tell us about the nature of life itself?
That's a question that the book leaves us pondering.
Yeah.
I think the biggest takeaway is that life is probably far more diverse and adaptable than we've ever imagined. Finding silicon-based life would mean that carbon is not the only game in town, that there are other paths to complexity and evolution.
It would completely change our understanding of biology and our place in the universe.
Yeah.
It would mean that we're not alone.
Right.
And it would force us to reevaluate our assumptions about what it means to be alive.
It'd be a monumental discovery.
Yeah.
One that would have ripple effects throughout science, philosophy, religion.
Yeah.
And even our everyday lives.
Wow.
It would spark new questions, new ways of thinking, and new possibilities for the future.
So as we wrap up this deep dive,
yeah.
What's the one thing you hope our listeners will take away from this exploration of silicon-based life?
I hope they come away with a sense of wonder,
yeah,
and a renewed appreciation for the vastness and mystery of the universe.
Mm.
We've only just begun to explore the possibilities of life beyond Earth.
Right.
And the potential for silicon-based life is just one of many exciting avenues of discovery.
It's a reminder to, you know, keep those minds open, to stay curious, and to never stop asking questions.
Absolutely.
Because who knows what incredible discoveries await us out there in the cosmos.
Exactly.
The universe is full of surprises, and the search for life in all its forms mm-hmm. is one of the most thrilling adventures we can embark on.
I agree.
And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive into alien life forms.
Okay.
We encourage you to check out the book and continue exploring the fascinating world of silicon-based life.
Sounds good.
Until next time, keep those imaginations firing and those minds open to the endless possibilities of the universe.
Great advice.